to Age of Minority, a podcast for youth about the gospel. I'm your host, Jaquel, here with my co-host, pastor, and dad, Sean.
Hi, Jaquel.
Hi, Dad.
You know, sir, I didn't ask you how you're doing.
I did notice that, and yeah. I appreciate it greatly.
Because I love you so much.
Should I be concerned with the new radio voice persona you're using to
the new
to
radio voice? No, that's my new radio voice. It's something I'm trying out. From now on, this is how I will be talking. What do you think?
Okay. I mean, just
it's the voice I wish I had.
Keep workshopping it. It'll come together
I'll
eventually.
Keep workshopping. Sure. Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, okay. So, Jaquel, how's it going?
It's going great. Going terrific.
All right.
How's it going? How's it going with you? don't try to continue this. It's your turn.
It's going pretty good. Yeah. I really have no complaints because, you know, I need to be grateful.
Yes.
So I'm being grateful. I don't know how creative I'm being, but I'm finding new and exciting ways to live and okay. function and all that sort of thing.
You're having a successful summer in quarantine so far is what you're saying?
I think I am. I mean, I don't know how summer it is here in Nova Scotia yet, but you know, I think I'm, I don't know if I'd say I'm killing it.
Okay.
I'm mildly maiming it. I'm doing pretty good, I think. Yeah, nothing too exciting for me.
Hopefully, when this episode comes out, it will be summer weather in Nova Scotia, because it would be quite concerning and a big bummer if it wasn't.
And when this comes out, I mean, exciting, crazy exciting things will be happening, because, like, you know, there's the whole my grandbaby thing.
Exactly. The baby
I'm kind of looking forward to meeting my grandbaby.
The baby will be weeks old at this point.
Weeks? Oh, I mean, I'm sure she'll be speaking and eating steak and all
walking,
that sorts of good
talking,
things.
Yeah. All the things.
Her and I will be going out for a hamburger.
Yeah, discussing theology, you know, yeah, all the things.
Darn right. So that's going to be exciting. Here we are still recording way in advance. Like, we got to be loaded with episodes right now.
Oh, we really are. We are.
Like, seriously, we got to have, like, what, like 8 episodes in the bank?
I don't know. I don't think that many, but we're at about, we're in June right now.
Seven,
these episodes
six,
are coming
five,
out in June, and we're four, not recording three, them in June. Spoiler eight. Alert.
No. Here we are way back in May, beginning of May.
Yep.
Just chilling, hanging out on the onlines. Maybe, you know, like, I don't know, Jaquel, do you think we're ever going to go back to recording in person, or are you, like, done with me for good in person? I don't know.
I mean, it really has been so convenient for me to not even have to see you while we record.
You don't have to look at my ugly face. you can't enjoy my amazing beard. By the way, I haven't talked about my beard in a while, Jaquel.
Now that
maybe
is
we
true.
Should talk about my beard. What do you think?
I feel compelled to do so. I can't really stop you, but
I mean, I think that people want to know, because apparently people like the beard. I'll tell you that right now.
Yes,
like people like the beard, Jaquel.
Well, I did see your Facebook post about that random guy who was looking at you in the grocery store parking lot, and.
He's just watching me load groceries in my car. And I'm like, why is that creepy dude smiling at me? And so I look back again, and he just says, nice beard, dude, or awesome beard, dude, or something like that. And I was like, thanks.
Wow.
But no, there's more, Jaquel. Not just random guys. It's random guys everywhere.
Random guys. Okay, this is getting weird.
Okay, this guy was not a random guy, but I got to tell you this story. It's a funny story because, well, it's funny to me. Like, maybe people can let me know. Maybe it's a terrible, boring story, but I think it's funny. So yesterday, I think I mentioned this on a previous episode that we recorded today. Yesterday, I had a guy coming into our church to check our water system because the powers that be, the bureaucracies that make me insane, the big government that we have to sustain in this country has insisted on us getting a water system in our church because, hey, you know, for the last 15 years, we've had a certain level of manganese in the water, and now that's not acceptable anymore.
Okay.
Don't get me started.
Restrain the rant. I did not get you started. You got yourself started all on your own.
So I called this company, Evolution Water. They're not hosting, or they're not sponsoring this podcast. But
well, I thought
anyway.
They were. I mean, gave them a direct shout out.
So dude shows up, nice guy. Dude shows up, and he's, you know, of course he's wearing an N95 mask, and he's got gloves on and everything.
Of course.
And he comes in and he's about to say something. Now this is where it gets funny. I think he's about to say something about his mask, like, hey, yeah, I got to wear this mask or whatever. And so he says what I thought was going to be something about his mask, and I go, oh yeah, and then I just go right into what I had to talk to him about. No, guess what he said?
What did he say?
He said, nice beard, man. And I just went, oh yeah. And then just went right into what I was talking about.
Wow. He must think that you are like so arrogant about your beard. You're just so used to these compliments about it.
Yeah, I know. He's like, that guy's got some serious beard arrogance. But anyway, so I thought that was pretty funny. So anyway, that's all I needed to share. But Jaquel, it's that time again.
I have been waiting with bated breath, just with the anticipation for weeks now for this time.
No, we can't have this bit on every episode, Jaquel. Come on.
I guess. Like
we've got to keep it special, but it is that time once again where we review your review.
Oh, such a great time. I love this time.
You know, even the title itself is amazing. We review your review. I mean, how come nobody has ever thought about this until us? We are amazing.
I know. Look at us. Man. Trailblazers right here.
All right. So here we go. This review is from Crite Britain. Should I share it in a British accent?
No, please no.
No, because I can't do a British
accent. I know. What even accent was that? That was not British.
This comes in on iTunes Great Britain, okay? And this review is from Libby Helen.
Okay.
Now, I'm going to say I know I haven't read through this whole review, so I don't know exactly what this person says, but I'm going to safely say that I think Libby Helen is a young lady.
I mean, that is two female names, so I think we can probably make that assertion.
Now, listen, hold on a second. Let's review the name itself. Libby, I've never heard the name Libby.
Really?
That's a girl's name?
Yeah, it is.
What's it short for?
No, that's just the name.
The name? Like, it's just Libby?
Yep.
Okay, I got nothing against it. I've just never heard it before. Yeah. Libby, like that's a girl's name, Libby?
Yep, I think I knew a Libby once when I was in elementary school, maybe in Texas. I think
one. I'm going to be the last person to say anything about unique names because I know somebody with a really unique name, right?
Yeah, you were very involved in them having that unique name in that you bestowed that unique name upon them.
Yeah, so I'm all about that. I got no problem. But Helen, okay, I have some comments about the name Helen.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. I like it. It's a strong, solid name, Helen. And it's not a name that's used very much anymore, is it?
Like, absolutely true. So we have friends, Joe's best man, actually, at our wedding, is engaged to this lovely young woman named Helen. And when we met, I was like, man, you do not meet a lot of like early 20-something-year-olds that are named Helen.
But I'm just going to straight up say, I think that is a great name.
It is a lovely name.
Helen. So anyway, I'm going to give it 5 stars on the name. Okay. and I think it's only appropriate because Libby Helen gave us, guess how many stars, Jaquel?
I'm dearly hoping 5. Dearly hoping.
It's 5. It's 5. I mean, what else is there? 5 stars. I've got to give a, you know, that's a great review. 5 stars.
Sweet
so
relief.
The podcast or the sorry the podcast the title. I don't know exactly how this works. Why do you have to give a title to a review? But anyway, the title for the review is Wonderful Podcast.
Oh. Nice. Yeah,
1 exclamation point. Wonderful Podcast. So nice. Libby Helen is filled with wonder at our podcast. And that fills me with wonder also.
I couldn't agree more.
Okay, now I'm going to tell you, oh no, hang on a minute. Maybe we're okay. I'm just glancing over this. I'm going to tell you this first paragraph. We got a couple of single exclamation points.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm thinking she could have used a few more, but anyway, we'll take what we can get. Okay, so here we go. Hello!
Wow.
That's always a little bit odd to me. Like that's it's a very exuberant hello.
Okay.
I mean, like, you know me, I'm going to be like, hey, what's up? But this is, hello.
No, I like it.
Okay. Honestly, Libby Helen says, honestly, she wants us to know that she's honest right off the bat.
You know, that's really helpful for, especially for other people who are reading these reviews. You know, they don't want to read a dishonest review. They want to hear this person's honest opinions. And so maybe, you know, good job. Start out making this very clear.
So you're going to call her Libby. I wanted to call her Helen, but either is fine, I guess. I got to say, I really appreciate it because we don't know Libby Helen. Maybe we'll call her by her full name. We don't know her. So we really appreciate that she lets us know that she's going to be honest right off the bat.
For sure.
So I appreciate that. Thanks, Libby Helen. So honestly, Libby Helen says, I'm ashamed. There's so much here. Don't be ashamed.
No.
We don't want to cast any shame on anybody. Don't be ashamed. That's all right. But Libby Helen says, honestly, I'm ashamed. It's taken me this long to get around to writing this podcast a review. Well, I'm going to retract. Maybe a little shame.
No shame.
I don't know. Maybe a little shame. You really should have written this review a long time ago, but we're gonna let it slide because we like your names.
It might have made us a little happier if we got the review earlier, but I don't think someone should feel shame if they're intending to write a review for us at some point.
Well, I got to say, I'm looking at the next line, and I think, I'm going to agree. I'm going to remove all shame, because Libby Helen goes on to say, I could make an excuse about just recovering my iTunes account, .. But there really is no excuse.
Oh, my.
Libby Helen is taking responsibility. I am liking her more every sentence.
But, I mean, that is a really good excuse, I need to say.
That's a great excuse, but Libby Helen notes that there really is no excuse.
Oh, my goodness.
I hope all of our other listeners are listening right now, and if they've not left a review, you listen to Libby Helen right now, because she's being honest with you. There really is no excuse. All right, moving on. I've been listening to this podcast since around 2017, I think. Wow. I think that's about since when we started, 2017. Close. Maybe 2016?
Yeah.
When did we start, Chikel?
I think I think in 2016. Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
I started in 2016 too, but I'm guessing late 2016.
Yeah, I think like November 2016.
No, that's getting awfully specific. There should be a prize for this. Let's see. Oh man, why do you always got to be right?
Yeah.
November 14th, 2016 was our introduction. The launch episode was November 25th. Nice. Oh my goodness, I could only imagine what that sounded like. Anyway.
It's probably pretty rough.
Back to this review. So I've been listening to this podcast since around 2017. Now that's disappointing. You should have been listening to 2016.
This is still such a long time listener. Man, you're so cruel.
Okay. I've been listening to this podcast since around 2017, I think. And so I owe you both an overdue thank you for the work you put into creating this resource. Well, you are most welcome.
You definitely are.
It's had a huge impact on me in many ways, such as introducing me to topics in a clear and accessible way, such as different denominational views, theological topics, and homeschooling, which I totally consider now.
Oh.
Interesting.
Wow.
Libby Helen goes on to say, your thoughtful discussions really influenced my desire to think through how I can glorify God in every aspect of my life, large and small.
Wow. That's super cool.
That's super humbling, don't you think, Jaquel? I mean, serious for a moment here. That is really humbling.
It really is. Wow.
I know. I don't get serious. Well, I do get serious quite a bit, but in these reviews, I rarely get serious. But we really appreciate that. That means we're winning at podcasting.
We are winning.
Yeah. Thanks also for the book recommendations. 10 Ways Your Phone Is Changing You. Thoughts for Young Men are just two that have been really influential.
Such good books.
Now I'm okay. So I just looked forward to the last line. We're on the last line here. I don't know what I think about this last line.
Oh boy.
There's a parenthesis here that's really got me concerned.
Okay. I'm intrigued.
I don't know what to make of this, but Libby Helen concludes her. Let me make sure this is the conclusion. I don't have to scroll. No, this is it. Okay. So Libby Helen says, I give thanks to God for you both, and I'm praying for you at this time. In parentheses, especially Jaquel.
Aww.
Is that because you're about to give birth, or is that because she favors you more than me?
You know, I'm going to take a wild guess and say that it's definitely because she favors me more than you. I don't really know how you could see it any other way. So thank you, Libby.
Anyway, Libby Helen, we give your review a riveting 8-point purple stars.
Oh, okay.
That's a new thing. I don't know. Right.
8-point purple stars. I don't even know what that means, but it sounds really good. So I'm going to agree because that was an amazing review.
That was a very good review. We really appreciate your honesty. You know, we hope that your shame has subsided to some degree.
And, I hope it's subsided fully.
And we appreciate your prayers for Jaquel, but not for me. No, yes. I mean, especially your prayers.
I no, need a seriously. Lot of prayer.
Listen, I don't need any prayer. I've got everything sorted. So just use your prayers for Jaquel. We laugh because we love. So anyway, we appreciate your review. We appreciate all our reviews.
Live, laugh, love. This has been Age of Minority.
Name of our new podcast where we live, laugh, and love. Okay, Jaquel, come on. It's time to get on to the serious business.
I know.
Okay? Enough is enough. Our listeners need to hear about what we have to discuss today. They are waiting with bated breath. What in heaven's name does that mean? How do you wait with bated breath? Help me with that. What is that?
I don't know. You're like holding your breath in some sort of anticipation or something. I don't know.
I got to check this out.
I'm not.
How do you even pronounce bated breath? I've said it. Baited is a form of the word abate, which means to diminish, beat down, or reduce. So when you're waiting with bated breath, you're so eager, anxious, excited, or frightened that you're almost holding your breath.
Well, okay.
Wow, that's really exciting. What was I saying? Oh, yeah. People are waiting with it. They want to know what we're going to talk about today. And what we're going to talk about is kind of something fun, but also something serious.
Something okay, fun, serious, a little bit weird, a little bit crazy, a little bit sad.
It's out there. Now we're this is another, you could call this, now don't, please don't tune out anybody. You could call this another coronavirus episode. But it's not so much about coronavirus. What I thought it would be fun to do is just have a candid conversation, Jaquel. Just a candid conversation.
Yeah, because we're going to be honest too, just like Libby Helen.
Yeah, we are. You got that right. And we're not going to feel any shame about it.
No.
Neither are we making any excuses here. We're just going to talk about the different ways that churches have had services. Okay, so now we did an episode back when this whole started about what we thought was a good way to look at how the church and government function together. That's not what we're getting into now. So, you know, we could get into that right now because the longer this thing goes on, people start discussing, well, when does the church have to be civilly disobedient and starts meeting even when they're not supposed to and so on and so forth. But that's not what we're getting into right now. I just thought it would be fun to have a discussion about what we thought about the different ways that churches have dealt with not being able to meet together. Mm-hmm. So I've kind of jotted down the different things that churches have done. And then we'll talk about what we've done. Have I ever talked on the pod about what we do as a church?
I believe so. I think on our second coronavirus episode, we talked a bit about that.
So, obviously, people will know what I favor when we get to what we do. But I'm just gonna throw these things out there, and we're talking about this on a personal level. I'm not giving my pastoral input on this, or you know, if any of my church members are listening, I want them to know like these are just my personal views on these things. I mean, obviously, my personal views will influence how I believe. How I lead the church for sure. But I just want to make this clear. This is just a personal conversation about what we think about these different ways. We mean no shame. Like we don't want to cause any shame, not for Libby Helen or anybody else. Okay.
But especially not for Libby Helen, especially.
Exactly. But if you're doing one of these things and we say something negative about it, we're not saying this negative about you or about your pastor. We're just giving our thoughts on what we think about these different ways that churches have dealt with not being able to meet together to worship in person. So here's the first one, Jaquel. Mm-hmm. Some churches have done nothing. Right. Nothing. They've done nothing. Okay, so some churches have done nothing just because I'm sure because they just don't know what to do or else they just don't want to do anything or, you know, whatever. But some churches have intentionally, done nothing. In other words, the I'll tell you the reasoning behind this, and then I'll have you comment. Okay. So some churches think that it would be better to do nothing so that people would then miss the regular time of worship. They would lament the loss of the regular time of worship. And when that time comes back, it will be all the more meaningful. So one very well-known church, Capitol Hill Baptist Church in Washington, this is the tactic that they've taken. They have intentionally not put anything on in place, no live video, mm-hmm. no video sermon, all the things we'll talk about, no nothing, because they want their members to lament the loss of worship so that when they go back to it, so that's one of the things. So what do you think of that?
So I think obviously motive does play a big part in this. The churches that do nothing out of just, I don't know, like not knowing what to do versus the church that has thought through this.
Right.
I think also the dynamic of the size of your church and how much video content you normally produce. Like if you're normally live streaming your service, I think could be interesting, because if you do normally live stream your service, and then during this period, you're also live streaming the service and people just get used to it. And you are like genuinely concerned that people will want to stay home after this and just consume church at home. I think that is a bit of a different dynamic than, you know, say our church that doesn't normally do that kind of video content.
Right.
But I do think this is maybe one of the more unhelpful ways to deal with this, because, you know, doing everything that, you know, all the other methods are so fundamentally different than gathering together as a local church. Like right now, I mean, we can talk about later what we're doing and stuff.
No,
but,
go ahead.
But so right now, I mean, you're sending out a recorded sermon every week with scripture reading, with songs to listen to, as well as doing, you know, Facebook Live videos multiple times a week and sending a daily email update. That's amazing. Even still, I desperately miss getting together with the local church, because it's not even close to a replacement. Like, it's still so, so different that I still have this great desire and just like, I miss the fellowship of God's people so much. And so I do think in light of a lot of the other challenges that people are facing, you know, feeling disconnected, people that may be living alone, I do think it is just more helpful for churches to do something for their members than to do nothing.
Okay, that's really interesting. I really appreciate your perspective on that, because I think that I have come to that perspective, but I didn't have it at first. So at first, I really like, and I'm talking about the Capitol Hill Baptist motivation.
Right.
So they're looking at it and they're saying, we want our church to lament. They we want them to take this time where we're not having anything to lament. And I kind of liked that.
Mm-hmm.
But I agree with you. As things go on, there's no question that this is not a replacement. You know, like the if anything, I find that each week that we do what we do, and like Jaquel said, I record my sermon here on the podcast equipment, I send out audio, and then I send out what I call a quote unquote order of service. Because one thing I will say is that there is no such thing as church at home.
Yeah.
And I'm not judging any of the churches that advertise it as church at home, but church at home is not church. Like, that's not church. Church is the gathered saints, the ecclesia, the ones who are called out from the world. So you can call it church at home, but it's not church. What I call it is our worship at time, or worship at home time. Okay. And again, you might say I'm getting caught up on semantics. I will disagree with you, because I think it's important for people to know that you can't have church at home. That's not church. You know, church is the gathering of saints. But so I include a scripture for you to read together as a family. I've encouraged people to pray on their own. I encourage, I have a song for them to listen to and sing if they like, which Mom and I have done once.
Okay, cool.
We actually sang together a song, which is unusual in our home. We don't sing that much around here. But anyway, and then you listen to the sermon, and then there's a song of closing. And then basically, I encourage you to open your time in prayer and close it in prayer. So it's like a mini quote unquote service. It's a time of worship. But as much as I enjoy doing that, each time I do it, I'm reminded of how important it is for us to be together as a church. Yeah. So I started off really liking the doing nothing perspective, which I never did. I went right into what we're doing now, right from the beginning. But I liked the mentality behind this. But now I'm starting to see I can still lament it and have the church give me something to do when it's worship time on Sundays.
Yeah, and you, again, you and our other elder, Jake, like, have also reinforced this through your messages and stuff. It's not like you have tried to make it a replacement. Right. I mean, you've talked about again and again how we should be lamenting, how we should be missing the gathering together of God's people. But this is just a way that you're seeking to, you know, still shepherd the sheep, still serve people. And yeah, especially when I think about, you know, some of the more elderly members or people that are just struggling during this time. I think having something for them is just such a great way to bless and serve them.
So the first way is nothing. The second way we've already mentioned is like an audio only. Whatever you might decide to do, you might decide to have your worship team record or your music team record a few songs to send out, or you might send a few songs, or you might not include songs at all. You'll just send out an audio sermon. Now, I don't know of anybody else who is doing this. Mm-hmm. Have you heard of anybody who's doing this besides us?
I don't think so, no.
And it's not that it's so unique. I think the thing is that like Jaquel mentioned also that like we have kind of what I call a threefold strategy. So our church gets the emails every day that is print, and then they get a Facebook Live video on Wednesday nights, which is video, of course, Facebook Live video, and then they get an audio sermon on Sundays. So they're getting print, they're getting audio, they're getting video. I'm trying to kind of cover everything there. But other than that, I don't know of anybody else who's used the audio. Or audio only. What do you think, Jaquel?
What do I think about this
just,
method?
Just focusing on sending out just an audio message. Like let's not worry about the music and everything, because the emphasis is that I send out an audio message. What do you think about that?
I think it's good. I don't know.
Here, let me interrupt. Let me say, what do you think about audio only as opposed to video only, sending out a video sermon versus an audio sermon? Maybe cover for both of those, because some people send out a video sermon and then they do the same thing. Either they'll send out some videos of music for you to listen to, or they'll send out videos of their worship, their music team. I keep calling it worship team, which I hate. Their music team, doing a few videos. So what do you think about audio versus video?
So I personally do like video. I really do. Okay. And I think for a couple reasons, and this is something, why another reason why I've really appreciated you doing the Facebook Live videos as well, and doing some teaching content with them, because there is just another sort of layer to a sermon, to a message, in how it's being delivered, in terms of like the, you know, how your facial expressions, your, you know, gestures, whatever, that it's not like you can't still get the content and the meat and the blessing from just the audio, but it feels more like the sermon experience that we get when we're actually, you know, together watching you when it is a video. And I think it just it just feels a little bit more like a sermon than when you're just, you know, sitting on your couch, either looking at notes or at your Bible, or just like staring at our turned off TV. Like, it's just like, I don't know. It's just such a different experience of engaging with a sermon when every week you're just listening to an audio, when you're so used to the sermon experience being a visual, having a visual component as well. And so that's what I do tend to like about the video sermon.
Okay, I appreciate that. So let me say two things about that. So first of all, one of the reasons that I have focused on audio for Sundays is A, because that's what I was already doing. Like, sure, we already record all our sermons. I have all the equipment here to make it's funny, if you look at the sound quality between when I used to record the sermons during the preaching of it to it now, it's improved dramatically. Yeah. But part of it was just because it was convenient, but there was more to it than that. So one of the things was that I think the issue is that so this is why I like what we're doing as opposed to doing nothing or video service. One of the two is that it's important for our people still to receive the word. Mm. And that's what my emphasis is to receive the word. And people do not have to see my face to receive the word. Sure. Furthermore, I think not seeing my face is basically, this goes back to the motivation for Capitol Hill and other churches that have chosen not to do anything. So it just makes it a little easier to lament actually being there. It reminds you, no, you're not there. And that's the whole point. You're supposed to be there and you're not there. And so that's why I've gone audio. That said, I have mentioned that it is possible that I could do video in the future because I'm not opposed to it. And something, I was talking to one of our previous elders of the church, Jaquel, that has now moved on. And he raised a really helpful point, I thought. And that's that it's much easier for the children to stay connected when there's a video on rather than just audio.
That's very true.
So anyway, that's it. So you've got the churches that do nothing. You've got the churches that do like an audio or a video service of some type. Either they just send you an audio or a video recording of a sermon, and maybe they include music in there and maybe they don't. Okay. Mm-hmm. So here we get to the most popular.
Yeah.
And what I saw was when this whole quarantine thing came down and people couldn't meet, it was like immediately everybody started scurrying to make this happen for their church. And this is the live video.
Right.
Okay. Live video streaming so that everybody is watching it at the same time. Now, let me just say before we get, well, no, I better let you, we'll do this the way we're going to do this. Okay. So there's the live video streaming, Jaquel. What do you think about this? I don't imagine that you've taken part in anybody's service.
No, but it's funny because if you go on Facebook on Sunday morning, like all of my friends are either posting or like, you know, watching their live service. And so it's such a strange dynamic that those just like fill my feed. But I've watched like little bits of friends' services.
Yeah,
or whatever,
yeah, sure.
Have not watched the whole thing. So a part of me thinks this is cool. Like, again, it does have that, you know, just trying to connect people, trying to give people that, again, even though you are missing it, they still want to provide the time of worship and time in the word and the sermon. But it's also kind of weird to me because with the dynamic of streaming live, like you're not together. And it's like, you can comment. This sounds so obvious. Obviously you're not together, but it, in some ways it sometimes feels a little bit more performance-y to me. Yeah. That again, that's just like a totally random personal thing.
Yeah.
But
it's just a personal conversation, Jaquel.
Just a personal conversation.
It's personal.
And then I guess the other dynamic is people that are not on Facebook, your church members that are not or are not on Facebook or are not technologically savvy, that cannot participate in this. And so I would hope and want, like, if your church did this, there be a way for your pastor or whatever to share this video or make it available, or whether it's email or just somehow, so that every member can participate. Because if you are doing your service in such a way that actually prohibits some members from being able to take part at all, I do think that could be a bit of an issue.
That okay, so it's almost like you and I, you know, think the same way. It's almost like we grew up in the same home or something. But anyway, you raise a very important point, and that's the issue that if you're going to do something, everybody needs to be able to take part. And that is why I have not gotten involved in Zoom or the live video, because while most people can tune in, not everybody can. You can watch a Facebook live video even if you're not on Facebook, but you can't watch it live.
Yeah.
You can watch it afterwards, which is why I do the Facebook live videos only for like a Wednesday night thing or a Sunday chat, never for sermon preaching. And then I just send it out so that everybody can see it. But I would never want to, you know, do like a live service that everybody couldn't be involved in. That is a real issue. Or a Zoom meeting that everybody couldn't be a part of. And again, I'm not opposed to Zoom. I'm not opposed to the Facebook live video, any of that stuff. I'm not opposed to the live streaming. I'm not opposed to any of it. But I do think that there's some challenges, you know, like ensuring that everybody can be involved, because you don't want to have a service that everybody can't be involved in.
That's true. One other thing I think, though, that I kind of said some negative stuff about it, but one thing that I think is really cool, like if everybody in your church was able to be involved, like I think it is so lovely that you could all, you know, in one sense, and, you know, I just said in one sense you're not connecting, but in another sense you are connecting together at the same time. So that is something that I have really appreciated with your Facebook Live videos, you know, even to be on and to see that, you know, some other church members are watching at the same time. And you just feel like you're a teensy bit more, you know, a part of something together with your church family. And so, you know, if your church is able to all participate, you know, that you could all, you, just that you know you're listening to the sermon together at the same time as the rest of your church family, and that you're singing together at the same time with the rest of your church family. There is something really cool about that.
So I'll say one other thing about live video, and this kind of, like you were mentioning before, like you need to consider context and churches that have been doing this or not been doing this, or, you know, and all that sort of thing. But one other thing I will say is that in our context, it's not an issue whatsoever. For some contexts, though, you could be thinking, I don't want to have a live video service because then people will start thinking that they can do that rather than come out to church. You referenced this earlier on. Now, in our context, that's not really an issue. Okay. We're a small church. I cannot imagine anybody in our church, whether a member or an attender, saying, oh, I'm going to just watch live. I don't need to go to church. Right. But that said, there are contexts. Like, you think, for example, of when we were going to church in Texas, Jaquel, a church of a membership of 3,500, where really only about 1,500 to 2,000 show up on a Sunday. It will encourage some of the people who still come out to think, maybe I will watch it at home.
Yeah.
So it is something to consider. That said, it is not an issue for us, but I mean, I'll just tell you from a personal perspective, I'm just not a big fan of the live videos. It could, like, I mean, the Facebook Live videos are okay because they're a much more informal thing the Facebook Live videos that we do, that I do, they're just an informal thing where I'll do a brief teaching, or I'll just, you know, check up on people and let them know how everybody in the church is doing and that kind of thing. But the live videos services where they do their entire service, it's like there's okay. So I'll give you some insight into this, my experience with this, Jaquel. I don't know if you're aware of this, but Mom and I have been what we do on, well, I mean, this is not that regular, but last week we watched a sermon by Colin Smith.
Okay, yeah.
At Orchard Park Church in Chicago. It was, and this was just a video sermon from a while back before the quarantine. It was really encouraging. And so then we thought this week, after we did our own church stuff in the afternoon, we were looking for something to do. And I said, oh, why don't we watch another Colin Smith sermon? We really enjoyed that. Mm-hmm. And so they do the live service, okay? But then the video is available on. So we went on there and you press play and, you know, the band's up on stage. And they're all singing and everything like that. And nobody's in the church. Like, they don't show the church, of course, but you know nobody's there. And then all of a sudden it's like, now we're going to go to the sermon. And all of a sudden, poof, there's Colin Smith up at the pulpit. And it's just like, and you know, he's not preaching to anybody. And it's just, I don't know. It's just like, we're trying to, how do I say this? Not replicate, but we're trying to mimic what it's like to all be together, and you aren't all together.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
It is tough to know, though, too. Like, if you decide to record a video sermon, like at home or at the church or whatever, and not like live stream and not do like the whole service and send it out, like, how is that significantly different than just live streaming your sermon and then sending it out?
I don't know. I honestly don't know. Like, you're just saying, like, how much different is it to do it live than actually just send out a video? Yeah. You know, I mean, I guess if it's just the sermon, I don't think it's that different. Okay. It's all the other stuff. It's all the other stuff with the service is kind of what gets me. I'm like, I think if it was just the sermon preached live or a video sent out, I don't think I'd see as much of an issue. It's when they try to, you know, and I mean, that's what churches do. A lot of churches do that. They do a live service. So the entire service, it's like everybody is sitting there, but they're not sitting there. They're sitting at home. And I mean, I get it. Like, oh, totally. It is, I think it is as close to church as you can be without it being church.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you that. Like, if you want to make it as close to Sunday morning as you possibly can, you've succeeded. It's just, I'm still going back to the motivation for the first thing, which was to do nothing, which I don't think you should do. But I do think that you should encourage people to lament their loss of corporate worship each week. And I don't think that, I think that that does it the least way.
It's just a lot harder to do it like that.
Just a lot harder, yeah. Okay, anyway, there's one last thing we need to discuss, Jaquel, and this has become a thing,
mm-hmm.
And that is the drive-in service.
Yeah.
Okay, now I guess I need to retract my last statement, because this is actually the closest thing you can get.
Yeah.
Not the live video, because this is sort of like, okay, we're back together again, but we all have to stay in our cars. Our cars need to be 6 feet apart, and we can't talk to people in other cars.
Mm-hmm.
But we can all be parked in a parking lot, and the pastor can be up front, and the music team can be up front, and you can have a drive-in service. And even here in Nova Scotia, there was a bit of debate about it, and now they've gone ahead and said, no, that's fine. You can have a drive-in service. So, Jaquel, what do you think of the drive-in service?
So this is probably the method that I have the most mixed feelings about, I guess, or that I'm the least sure what my thoughts are on it. Like,
oh, I'm so intrigued.
So, wow. In one sense, the biggest advantage, of course, to this is that you are physically gathered together again. So this is the only method that, you know, you're allowed to gather together with the people of God. You're able to see them.
It's kind of in a different category.
Right. But it also is still so different because you can't talk to anybody. You can't.
You're not supposed to anyway. Well,
yeah, exactly. Here at least, yeah, they're like, do not talk to anybody. You're supposed to just like stay in your vehicle with, you know, your family again. I don't know.
Let me just interrupt. So on NovaScotia.ca, on the government website, this is their statement. Drive-in religious services will be allowed as long as people stay in their cars, they are parked 2 meters apart, and there are no interactions between people in cars or between people in cars and others.
Mm-hmm.
So that means you can't pass around an offering plate. You can't have Lord's table. I guess unless everybody brought their own, you can't talk to somebody in the car next to you. I mean, no interactions between people in cars or between people in cars and others.
Right. And so in some ways, the dynamic of it is more similar to like a live streamed service where you, the only people you can interact with about this are your own family in your vehicle, even though you are like can see everybody else. Now, I guess there are definitely positives of it. And again, like so many of the dynamics depend on, you know, your church size, if you have a space big enough to do this, you know, you and I have talked about these things, like what
tech. Do you have the tech to do it?
Exactly. Yeah. If your church members will do this, like if they'll come out,
if they'll respect the rules.
Exactly. You know, families with lots of kids, or kids, young kids at all, you know, that can be really hard for them. Yeah. And so I guess I don't know. I think if you can do it, I think it's amazing. But I don't think it necessarily has to be the best option, or, you know, if it's allowed,
that you
have to do it, that it's like, oh, it's such the, you know, it's such an ideal option, at least, that is, if we're allowed to do it, you know, it's better than what we're currently doing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you raised a few of the things that are my initial thoughts, because I mean, this was so 2 weeks ago, Nova Scotia, the chief medical officer, whatever he's called, came down hard on the, because it was all right around Easter that churches were like, come on, we're just going to do a drive-in service. The dude next to the premier of Nova Scotia is like, no, it's not happening. That we are not allowing drive-in services. Just 2 weeks later, boom, we're allowing drive-in services. Now, that's a good sign. Like, that's a good sign, yeah. Because it was really ridiculous that they wouldn't. The other thing was that they had closed all the parks here in Nova Scotia, and they reopened those, and they never should have closed those as well. So I mean, they never should have forbidden drive-in services, because that's entirely safe and not going to hurt anybody if they follow the rules. Yeah. So I mean, it's a good sign that just 2 weeks later, all of a sudden, boom, they're saying, now you can go ahead. But what this tells me is that it's entirely possible that they might also very quickly say, okay, you can go back to services of 50 or less as long as you social distance. And if they did, our church could easily resume meeting.
Yeah.
We have I think our building is big enough that if we spread the chairs out into, you know, family clusters and whatnot, mm-hmm. and we all respected the six foot social distancing rule and whatnot, I think we could be, you know, relatively close to meeting to some, maybe even like, I mean, and again, this is just personal conversation, personal views, but it's maybe even possible that we might have two services.
Yeah.
And you know, A to L come at 10 o'clock and then M to Z or whatever comes at 2 o'clock or something, or we have half the service Sunday, half the service and the rest, half the church there on Wednesday or something like that. My point being is that, do we want to rush into this drive-in thing when maybe we might quickly be back to, you know, back to regular. I mean, like, we as a church, given our geography and given technology, yeah, I mean, we couldn't. It would take me a long time to get the right tech to be able to do it. Yeah. And if we can't do it right, I don't think it's good to do. So yeah. By the time all the tech stuff got here, we could be back meeting. So, you know.
Yeah,
I don't know. I mean, I applaud the churches that are doing the drive-in. I mean, lots of churches, big churches. I mean, like, I saw a picture of one big church in the States, and obviously they have all the tech and they have a perfect parking lot for doing it. And they just, boom, they were able to make it happen in like 1 second. And they have the people and the resources. Great. Yeah. But it is an interesting concept.
It is. Yeah. And this is where, you know, every group of elders, every pastor, yes. You know, every Christian does kind of have their own thoughts on it. But I do think it really comes down to, you know, the way we started this conversation with the motives. And yeah. You know, again, if we said something kind of that negative about the way your church is doing it, you know, your pastors are doing the best they can right now. Yeah. And I have so much respect for pastors that are just, you know, shepherding during this insane time. And if your pastor has godly motives, I mean, you should be very grateful for whatever your pastors are doing for you. And I am very grateful for what my pastors are doing for us.
Well, Chiquel, I mean, again, like, we are just so connected here, because I just can't appreciate the way you ended that better, because let me say this, as Chiquel mentioned, we don't judge anybody's motives. We don't know, like, but of all of these ways that we went, that we discussed, whatever way your church is doing it right now, whatever way your elders have led your church to do it right now, that's the right way for you.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know? I mean, like, we're just talking about what our views are in this. And we brought in some theological issues here that you need to consider. And it's not like the things that we've said here are, you know, just us shooting the breeze. There are some serious biblical theological concerns that we've brought up about some of these different ways. But at the end of the day, whatever your elders or what your pastors have led your church to do, that's the right thing. So that's just a perfect ending. So there you go, Jaquel. Tell people where they can find us online.
Well, if they want to, you know, be as amazing as Libby Helen, they could always go to iTunes and leave us, an honest, just like Libby Helen, 5-star rating and review for their own chance for us to review their review on the pod. They can also head over to our website, ageofminority.com, leave a comment there, email us at Jaquel or Sean at ageofminority.com, or hit us up on social media, Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter.
All right, then. Until next week, Jaquel.
This has been Age of Minority.
Most certainly has.